Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you can hear me. I had originally set up a song to play to bring in a little bit of an intro to my show here. And anyway, my name is Dan Cherry. I'm near Rochester, New York. It is March 23rd, 2016. And I got an hour-long show tonight. Looking forward to just throwing out some ideas, and hopefully I can inspire some thought out in the world. Figure there are not going to be too many people who are going to be calling in and listening at this point, just starting this stuff out, but really enjoying being able to get my ideas out on the airwaves, so to speak, and see what kind of a following I can build up. Hopefully it's going to be a positive experience for anybody who's going to be listening to what I'm talking about. Anyway, I talked this past Saturday, my last program that I did, I spoke in terms of the matrix, really, that we live in. And I have found that as I get older, I'm realizing more and more that I'm starting to understand my own adherence to a matrix of sorts. And by saying that, I saw two, three nights ago that the movie The Matrix came on television. And I watched it, maybe half of it. I had seen it quite a number of years ago. I didn't remember a whole lot about it, actually. The other night when I was watching it, it was quite different from what I had remembered, but nonetheless, it made an awful lot of sense as I was watching the movie, and I recognized what was actually going on with what I believe was the intent of the people who had written the movie, directed it, produced it. And we're living in some amazing times, and I also, on the last show, I talked about the power elite, if we can call them that, if we want to call them that. They're just families who are just so insanely wealthy that they basically have tentacles into every aspect of our lives. And there are companies out in the world that have studied buying habits, for example, of people, and they've understood subliminal messaging and how they can insert a picture of a Coca-Cola in a single frame in a movie, and that can trigger your brain to want to go out when you're watching a movie, say in a movie theater, and all of a sudden that one frame flashes, and it's so fast you don't notice it's there, but your brain interprets it, and it triggers some people, to want to go out into the lobby of the movie theater and go get a Coke. And as a matter of fact, when that type of thing started to happen, when the people who were involved with marketing, advertising, and people who were in Hollywood and wherever else, when they started to figure this stuff out, they started to abuse their privilege, if that's the way to put it. And the government actually, back in that day, and we're going back quite a ways, we're talking probably 60s, and I remember this, it was either 1960s, 1970s, and the government had discovered that this type of thing was going on, and they decided that they were not going to allow it to happen, and I don't remember if they passed laws or whatever, I was relatively young at the time, but I do remember that they said that subliminal messaging in movies and that kind of thing was going to be considered illegal. And it's hard to believe that practice stopped. And it really doesn't matter, because you can go out and find a tremendous amount of information about the messaging that we all receive from billboards on highways or from pictures in magazines. I mean, they talk about how you can look at a picture in a magazine, let's say, for a particular type of alcohol, say vodka or whatever. And in the picture, they're pouring the alcohol into the glass. And there are images in the alcohol being poured that are sexual in nature, for example. And it becomes something that even though you don't look at it as something that's sexual or whatever the intent is, your brain will interpret the lines and the movements of the fluid as it's being poured as being sexual. And so just overall, the people who own companies, big companies, marketing companies, advertising companies, Hollywood, people who make movies, people who put magazines out, people who are involved in any aspect of marketing, advertising, they know these types of things affect people. They can draw people toward a thought that they want people to think. Ferguson, Missouri, is a recent example of that. People have been, blacks have been coerced in a way to become violent and protest and hate whites and that kind of thing. And there are many other examples of this type of stuff. And I need to preface right now, I should have done it before I started, but like I said, I had music queued up and it didn't play, and so I got off a little bit on my beginning here. But recognize that I am not politically aligned. I need to state that in every show that I do. I'm not a Republican. I'm not conservative. I'm not liberal. I'm not Democrat. I'm not third party. I'm not Tea Party. I don't have any alignment. I consider myself a pragmatist. I've said this before. If it makes sense, you do it. That's all there is to it. And there are gray areas, and that's why you have different bodies of government to try to figure out what the best way of going about things is. So anyway, the concept of what is available to different people to affect other people is pretty massive. And I'm getting a little bit off base here, but I still wanted to get back to what I was just saying a couple seconds ago. I'm also not politically correct. I want to throw that out too. I was going to skip that, but understand I swear a lot. And if that offends you, it's a free country still, so by all means, don't listen to me. I wanted to throw that out there real quick. But anyway, the whole concept of this power structure, this matrix, there are an awful lot of things that you can get people to do that they wouldn't normally necessarily do. And there are things that are starting to creep up. For example, you may have noticed that if you go to different websites. And if you've been to, say, Amazon or eBay or whatever, and you've bought, let's say, me, I play guitar, and I go out and I surf the internet and I look for different guitar strings, or I look for different types of guitars or foot pedals or whatever. Well, this type of information gets stored in different databases. And so I find now when I'm online, if I go to any particular website, they will have areas on the website where they will put up advertisements of some kind. And they are able to pair my interests with these different websites. And all of a sudden, I will be reading news or whatever, and all of a sudden, I'll see advertisements for guitar strings or guitars or whatever. we're being tracked on that level. And they talk about how people, through facial recognition software, might be walking down the street. And if they have cameras in different cities, which they do, and they focus on your face, they can, if you're in their database, as far as your face, your facial recognition, if they can tell who you are, they will then trigger TV screens and store windows to post pictures of things they know you do tend to buy. Say it's clothes or cologne or perfume or whatever it is. This is the level, the micro level, this real small level of control that they have. And it's a very dangerous thing from my perspective to recognize that these companies are allowed to do this, that they understand how to do it. They're very good at what they're doing, and they're very powerful in what they do. So I find myself analyzing my involvement with this thing we call the Matrix all the time. And the Matrix is nothing more than a control structure that makes us think, do, and say things that we wouldn't normally think, do, or say. An example that I can bring up would be disliking, hating people for having a different color skin or speaking with a different accent or for being taller or shorter than you are, we are. And as a matter of fact, you think of a band like Pink Floyd. They were thought of as being this psychedelic drug-induced band, which they had their moments, I'm sure. But there's a song they have called Us and Them. It was on the Dark Side of the Moon movie or album. And the concept behind it was they're recognizing that they felt separated from other people because of maybe their skin color or their intelligence level or what they did for a living or whatever. And the song is about pulling back and looking at that and saying, what the hell am I doing? Why would I ever judge another human being? But this is the Matrix. This is the system that's put in place, and it's all involved with education, economics, finance, banking, politics, sports, however you want to look at it. This Matrix, this system of control that these people have, permeates pretty much every single facet of life that there is. You can go in a store and you might look at a dress or a suit coat, shoes, whatever, and you might find it attractive for some reason, but you'll never think in terms of, why do I like that pair of shoes? Why do I like that dress? We don't tend to think of it that way. We just have these thoughts in our heads. We have these interests and desires and things. And yes, some are original, probably. But there's an awful lot that goes on that's not natural. It's not original to us. We go out in a day and say you go out, for example, and you see a really awesome sports car and you go out and buy one. I tend to have buyer's remorse. So I might go out and buy something, but sooner or later I'm going to look at it and say, why the hell did I buy that? And we don't all go through that experience, but I have and I do. And so I pull back from too much of a talk here about the Matrix, but I just wanted to put out that I recognize how I'm affected by the Matrix, and I'm pulling out of this Matrix as much as I can. And it's a very difficult thing to do. Involved in the Matrix is fear. There's a lot of fear that is pushed in front of us, and we can't get away from it. You look at magazines, you look at television shows, news, you look at websites, you look at newspapers, you look at pretty much any form of media, and there's some aspect, some depth, some involvement with fear. And an example is just seeing something about the Brussels bombing that we supposedly just happened. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, what my thoughts are on this stuff. Or you think about ISIS, which I'm going to talk a little bit about here shortly. These ideas, these thoughts, these events, all this stuff is pushed out in front of us. And this is intentional. This is part of a matrix plan that is very consciously being produced and put in front of us and around us, inside of us, in our heads. I talked last show about three-letter syllable names that there tend to be for pharmaceutical drugs. And just think, for example, how many of you have had the experience that I and many others I speak with have had, where you wake up in the middle of the night, it might be 3 o'clock in the morning, and you toss and turn for 3 or 4 hours, and then you got to go to work. You just toss and turn. It's not necessarily any reason for it, but subconsciously, we are very powerful in our minds. Subconscious, you're not thinking about it, but you really are thinking about it. You don't know you're thinking about it. So I find myself, every once in a while, I'll have maybe even a few restless nights in a row or even weeks. And then thankfully, I'll have a period where I'm so exhausted, I'll sleep for a few days or whatever, but then I might find myself back in the same pattern. And being an inquisitive guy like I am, I do tend to try to pay attention to news events and that kind of thing that I think are, I believe are going to affect me in my life. And I should talk about that in a few minutes here if I keep on track. But I know an awful lot of people who feel fear very often. And it's intense fear. And you can Google the idea of fear and how militaries and politicians have figured out over the lots of years that fear is probably the greatest motivator that there is. If they can instill fear in us, and I say there are groups of people who are very powerful, have a lot of money, and they are able to tell the media what to send to us as far as images and news stories and on and on. We all live in an awful lot of fear. We fear the economy. We fear losing our jobs. We fear going down in a plane crash if we're flying to another country or whatever. There's lots of fear, and maybe rightfully so because of how crazy the world's becoming. But I'll talk more about that at length. The world's becoming crazier, not because we are all becoming crazier, but because of those who truly are in control of this whole matrix. They are making this world crazier. Our interpretation of it is that the world is getting crazier, that people are getting crazier. And there are people definitely getting crazier. There's no question about it. But these people who I'm talking about, I don't even really have a name for them. You can throw names out like Illuminati and that type of thing. I don't know if I'm even talking that level of a being, but there are just groups of people out there, whether it's corporate interests or whatever, or educational or political, whatever. There's just an awful lot of knowledge out there of the power of instilling fear into people. I have my own fears. I worry about my family. I worry about losing my job. I worry about not being able to pay the bills and that kind of thing. And those are legitimate fears. But at the same time, I did buy a house. So I put myself in a position of having to pay a mortgage. So, of course, now I start to fear losing my job because if I lose my job, I may very well lose my house. And there you go. There's the matrix at work. I might go out in a day and go by a pawn shop, and I might see a guitar in the window and say, "Oh, God, I have to have a guitar. I don't have a guitar." Again, there's your matrix. And it gets much deeper than that, and it becomes even more bizarre at times. And in my life, for example, I wear button-down shirts all the time, long sleeve button-down shirts. It doesn't matter if it's 90 degrees outside. I wear button-down long sleeve shirts. I don't wear golf shirts. If I play golf, I'll wear a golf shirt, but in pretty much any other routine short of doing yard work, if I go out to a restaurant, if I'm out at a store, whatever I'm doing, I will wear a long sleeve button-down shirt. And I've been chuckling at myself because I do that, and I've come to realize I don't know why I do that. I don't know if it's because my dad did. I don't know if it's just because I've always had long sleeve button down shirts and I never took the time to buy short sleeve shirts. I don't even know. But that is just to me such an interesting aspect of this matrix. I'm looking now at this point in my life, in my 50s, I'm looking at many things I can remember over my life where I adhered to a matrix of some kind. I probably was relatively easy to market to, for example. I don't think I am now. I think I'm getting to the point where I understand this stuff enough, but I don't know that you could ever get out of the matrix completely. I think you can get off grid, so to speak. You can get away from it quite a bit. And it doesn't always involve spending money. It might be the church you go to, or it might, again, be the type of car that you like. It might be colors you like. Why do you like colors? I love blood red. Why do I love blood red? I don't know. I have no idea. But I do. Is that a natural thing? I don't know. And personally, I don't care. But I'm not necessarily going to go out and buy a blood red car. I'm conscious enough to look at it and say, well, maybe red's not the way to go. Let's look at a different color. Let's experiment here. Maybe I like other colors more than red, and I just never gave myself the opportunity to figure that out. So anyway, I guess by bringing this type of thing up, my goal, if that's the way to put it, I guess might be to try to inspire people, any of you, to interpret your own involvement with this matrix. And you can look at it as a potential matrix. I don't see it as that. I see it as being a very direct thing that is influencing incredibly powerfully our lives. Like Christmas, for example. I don't like Christmas. I just don't. I used to love it as a kid because I used to get presents. But now that I have to fight people in the stores and I have to fight to get a parking lot and I have to fight to figure out how I can get the money to spend on gifts and all that type of stuff, it's a hassle now. And I've looked at it that way and I've pulled back. I've been very objective and I don't understand the concept of doing this Christmas thing anymore. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And it might you, and I applaud you. I don't have any problem with that. I'm not here to make anybody, I'm not here to belittle anybody and make you feel like I don't like you or whatever. That is not at all anything that I would ever imagine in my mind offending people or anything else. But to understand that hundreds of billions of dollars are spent every year buying gifts on Christmas and it's enough really to boggle the mind because the money goes to the very people who are at the top, who have the trillions of dollars. They're the ones who get the interest from your credit cards. They're the ones who get the interest from your loans. They own the banks. They're very big, powerful people. They're out there. I can name names. I'm not going to do that right now. We'll have to talk about that at some point, maybe on another program. But there are definitely the power people out there, and they are so incredibly wealthy. We can't even imagine it. They have so much money. We're now talking Bill Gates. I mentioned that Saturday on my show. Bill Gates is just, he's a pissant. The guy has $75 billion in wealth or something. I mean, he's got a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, relative to these power people who really have the money, he's nothing. He's like us. He's nothing to them. He's wealthy in his own mind and all the power to him. So anyway, I thought I'd start the show off tonight just talking about a little bit more about the Matrix and and the power structure and that kind of thing. So anyway, I thought I'd go on here, just try a little bit something different to look at some of the news stories of the day. And I'm not going to get into real deep analysis of any of this stuff, but I'm just haphazardly going to pick a, I picked a bunch of today's news stories from various outlets and just want to throw these out there in case any of you haven't heard about these news stories. You might not care about them, whatever, but I find so many things now are so profoundly wrong. They're so backwards. They're so bizarre to an analytical mind that I guess I just have to, I have to throw this out here. So here's a story about Hillary Clinton. And the title says, now this is after we had the Brussels bombing, which to me is a false flag. And I'm going to talk about false flags here a little bit after I get through these news titles. These are false flags, are things that happen, whether intentionally or not intentionally, that affect an awful lot of people and can sway people's minds, their thoughts. They can bring about an end result. They can be used to interpret what somebody's saying after a false flag. Okay, so a false flag is an event that could happen when a government or a foreign government or a security agency like the CIA or the Israeli Mossad or any number of other organizations that are involved very deeply with spying and that kind of thing, they might do something like 9/11. That was a false flag. That was something that really happened, but it didn't happen the way that we were told it happened. We were lied to. It wasn't a bunch of terrorists who just happened to come into this country and take 3 weeks of flying lessons and flew planes in acrobatic ways that seasoned veterans of 30, 40 years couldn't possibly have done. The official story of 9/11 is just, it's bullshit. So, but it did happen, and somebody did it, and they did it for a reason, to scare us and to also get the backing of the American people, especially to get behind Bush to say, yes, let's go into Afghanistan. Let's move into Iraq. Let's get these people. Let's get this Osama bin Laden. Well, the government had been wanting to, the military had been wanting to go into Afghanistan and Iraq for a long time. And by having that event happen and blaming it on Osama bin Laden, who was supposedly in Afghanistan, how convenient it was for Bush then to say, hey, you're either with us or you're with them. And many people went right behind him. He got elected, and sure enough, he sent the military into not only Afghanistan, but Iraq and other countries. And here we are with Department of Homeland Security and the Patriot Act and NSA spying apparatus that's been put in place, and on and on. And anyway, there are a lot of these false flags that, where even things will be reported as happening that never happened. Sandy Hook is one of those events. Sandy Hook never happened. There were never kids in that school who got shot. That never happened. It never happened. I have the proof. I've read it. I've researched for years. That never happened. And I'll probably talk at length about Sandy Hook at a point. I'll mention a bit about it tonight. But that whole event never happened. It was a fabrication. It was just a bunch of people who had cameras, and they swooped into the Sandy Hook school area, which the school was closed, by the way. It had been shut down. There were no kids in that school. So there's a lot behind Sandy Hook, and anyway, it was fabricated by a group of people who are anti-gun. They made it look like some kid went in with all these powerful weapons and shot up all these poor kids, and everybody in the world said, "Oh my God, that's awful. We need to ban guns." Well, that was the whole idea behind it. That was done to sway our minds and make us vote a certain way, vote for certain people who are saying, "We need to get rid of guns." People are saying, "Oh God, that could have been my kid." Well, it never happened. But that idea, that whole horror, is in people's minds, parents' minds. They're thinking in the backs of their minds. They're thinking, again, it could be subconscious, but they're thinking all the time, worrying about, boy, where's my son? Where's my daughter? Where are they? They're supposed to be here. Oh, here they are. Oh, picking them up at school. Oh, God, I thought something happened to them. This is the fear that this whole system has been designed to be instilled in our minds, our beings, our lives. And so anyway, false flags are done for various reasons. You take something like Jade Helm last summer. I don't know how many of you know about Jade Helm. I'm not going to get into details, but mainly because I really don't know a whole lot about it. But I do know that there was a major program that happened in this country where there were different types of things that were done to gauge what our response would be to the things that were going on. And I'm not going to get into that again. I don't know a whole lot about Jade Helm, but in other words, false flags can be done to have something happen, and then these people who do it sit back and watch what all of us do about it, what we say about it, what we think about it. They want to know if they do this, this is what people do. And if they do something different and they try this, we might have a different reaction to it. So anyway, false flags are they're very prevalent. A lot of them going on around us, and I'll end up talking more at length. Anyway, I'm just going to read a bunch of titles here that are just crazy. Here's one. It says, Hillary Clinton quoted as saying, after Brussels attack, our government needs to take a harder look at encryption. There are a lot of people who are saying the Brussels attack, the bombing, did actually happen, but it was not done the way the official story says it was done. We're being told it was terrorists. We're being told it was ISIS in Syria, but there are also reports saying that the government in Brussels, in that area, Belgium, that they knew ahead of time that this was going to happen and they allowed it to happen. So again, you think about that concept of a false flag. The idea is to cause fear and make people think a certain way. Right now, for example, there's a lot of talk about how our military now needs to move into Syria and remove Assad, their president. And you can't tie the two together. Assad had nothing to do with the bombing in Brussels. But the bombing happens in Brussels, and Hillary Clinton and other people, and I'm going to name another one here in a second, they come out and say, oh, we need to go take out Assad. We need to start a ground war in Syria. We do not need another ground war anywhere. Assad had nothing to do with this. We do not have the right to go into his country and remove him for something he didn't do. But that's how nuts these freaking people are. They're nuts. They're absolutely freaking nuts. Another title along the same lines. New York Police Department Intelligence Commissioner says encryption enabling terror attacks. Encryption, meaning that the government can't spy on your cell phone or computer or whatever, anything that has encryption built into it. And it has nothing to do with anything that's going on. This Belgian bombing that just happened, supposedly, doesn't have anything to do with encryption. But these people, these crazy people, these nutcases, these assholes who are trying to take over everything that we think, do, and say, it's this whole matrix, this power structure. These people hate us. Go listen to my Saturday show if you don't understand any of this stuff. They hate us. They hate our prosperity, that we're free. They hate the fact that we live the way we do. They don't want us to live that way. They want to have all the power, the money, everything, and they want to be able to control us. And this is real. I'm going to talk a lot more about it. You can roll your eyes and say, oh, here we go. This guy is a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, by the way. I'm a realist. And if you have to call me a name like conspiracy theorist, I'm going to tell you you're brain dead, and then we can maybe continue a conversation. I doubt it because you're not going to be able to make any sense. And I'll talk a bit more about that. Hopefully, I'll have the time tonight. Anyway, another storyline here. The FDA, the Federal, the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S., just outlawed CBDs and hemp oil extracts by claiming all plant molecules now belong exclusively to big pharmaceutical companies. Hemp oil is made from marijuana plants. It's an oil that you can ingest, that you eat. It doesn't get you high in any way, shape, or form. But because of the special chemicals, the makeup of the molecules in the plants, it helps some very awful disorders, diseases. And it's used to treat epilepsy, seizures, neurological disorders, infections, and on. It's very good for the immune system. But the government doesn't want us to have access to that because the government is tied into the people who are at the top in these pharmaceutical companies. They're all friends. So the pharmaceutical companies say, hey, we're going to lose money here if people start finding out that hemp oil can cure them and our pills don't. We're going to lose money. So please do something about it. What does the government do? They come along and say, well, we're going to get rid of hemp oil and make it illegal to sell it, make it. So we're going to lose out on something that's completely natural and will heal most things, or at least a lot of things in our lives, disease-wise, so that we don't have to spend ungodly amounts of money to the pharmaceutical companies. All right, so here's another storyline. UC, University of California, Berkeley, students demand staff to take pay cut to fund on-campus abortions. So you got a bunch of radical feminists running around into this college telling professors and other people they should take a pay cut so that these women can have free abortions. Yeah, that's logical. Okay? That's pretty fucked up. All right, see what else we got here. Here's one. This is good. We're going to talk about ISIS here. America's fake war against ISIS grinds on. For any of you who don't know, our effing military, CIA government created ISIS. Do you remember the pictures a couple years ago of all those nice, shiny, new, brand new, hundreds of them, thousands maybe, those white Humvees? In long lines driving into Iraq and Syria. Where do you think they got those vehicles? And you can read any newspaper website, most of them will report how we had the U.S. bombed 25 ISIS locations this past weekend. That's bullshit. We give them not as in you and I, but our government, our military, the CIA, the Saudis, the Israelis. They give these bastards a shitload of money. We're funding them. We give them weapons. We created ISIS. We support them. We give them anything they want. We feed them, clothe them. We give them vehicles. We give them everything. We're paying for it as U.S. taxpayers. And yet we're told that our military goes and bombs them. That's horse shit. Complete horse shit. So Russia moves into Syria and starts actually bombing ISIS locations. Russia's doing the real bombing right now. They are the ones who are actually trying to get rid of ISIS. And ISIS keeps getting bigger. And now with this, these open borders and it all across Europe, you can read about so many horror stories about what these ISIS bastards are doing in these European countries. And you have to step back. If you have any brain cells at all, you have to sit back and ask yourself, if these pieces of shit are coming into these countries and raping women, which they do, and they're stealing things, which they do, and they're killing people, which they do, why would our politicians even remotely have opened up our borders to let these pieces of shit in these countries? Obama did the same thing on our border down with Mexico. It's wide open right now. Anybody can walk across that border either direction. You have to look at that and say, what did that piece of shit do that for? Okay. Another storyline. This is from last year, October, but it's pretty awful. 12 holistic doctors have now died within a little over 90 days. Doctors who have been figuring out how to cure cancers and autism and such things are being found with bullets in their backs, and the coroners, when they do autopsies, are saying these people committed suicide. How do you commit suicide with a bullet in your back? How do you shoot a gun in the back of your head? That's what's happening to these people. And it's been said that they're all dying from suicides. These are people who are vibrant, who are alive, and have spent their lives trying to heal kids, for crying out loud. And they've been able to heal kids. But what happens? The pharmaceutical companies realize that if these people are able to start curing diseases, the pharmaceutical companies are going to lose ungodly amounts of money. That's exactly what's going on. Gets back to the power structure and the matrix. Here's another story, a little after that one storyline I just read. Another alternative health doctor killed, found in a makeshift grave, joining a dozen other doctor deaths. These people, this structure, this power structure, the people who control the matrix, this control structure in our lives, they're the ones doing this. They will not tolerate anybody being healthy, which again is why the Food and Drug Administration won't let us have hemp oil. Then you get to somebody like Scalia. Antonin Scalia was just found dead a month or so ago. It's being said that he died of natural causes, but they never performed an autopsy on this guy. Here he is, probably second only in power in this country to the president, and nobody ordered an autopsy. And you know why? Because if they did, they'd understand that he was murdered. He was absolutely murdered. So here, anyway, that's enough of these titles. It's amazing to me to read through this stuff in any given day. I try not to, but sometimes curiosity gets even me. And anyway, it just is what it is. So just an incredible place to live in this world right now. Everything has gotten so, not everything, but there's so many violent things going on right now. You look at the people protesting against Trump. I mean, you have to look at the scenario and ask yourself, how is it possible that within a relatively few short years, we've gone from having free elections and people just dealing with whoever won, to now having people fighting each other, killing each other because they hate a particular person who's running for president? I have to step back and take a look at that and ask the question, what the hell happened? What is causing this? And there it gets back to these power people. They're able to sway votes. They can sway people's minds, emotions through a lot of different means. I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm sure I'll talk about it someday, but it's just pretty awful to see how imbalanced people are at this point in life. So anyway, another part of what I wanted to talk about on the show was something I mentioned a few minutes ago about false flags. I'm just going to run down a bunch of these really quickly, but these are things I'm probably going to talk about in more detail at some point. But these are things that we're being told one thing about these issues that I'll read down through, but we're not being told the truth about how they happened or what they are, who they are, where they are. You take something like ISIS. We're being told they're this crazy group and U.S. military is doing their best to fight them off. If we were, we would have annihilated them. But no, it's not happening. ISIS is getting bigger and more powerful, and they're infiltrating all these countries, and they're going to be in a city near you soon. Ebola, whatever happened with that? We were told that was going to kill everybody on the planet, millions of people, and it just went away. Now we've got the Zika virus. They're saying the same thing. Oh, this is going to kill everybody. And everybody's running around saying, oh, my God, this is awful. Well, when was the last time you heard about a Zika death? The Brussels bombing. There's just something that doesn't make sense about that whole thing. Sandy Hook, never happened. I've got documentation on that. It'd blow your mind. There are videos that people have put together, friends of mine even, very legitimate people who have spent years studying that whole situation. Never happened. Oklahoma City bombing. That did actually happen, but it didn't happen the way we were told. Timothy McVeigh builds a fertilizer bomb that tears the whole front off that massive building. There's no way a fertilizer bomb would have done that damage. There was a bomb, there were many bombs inside that building that caused that explosion, and it was caused by our own military. I shouldn't say the military. It was more CIA. It was the government involvement. I'll leave it at that. Then you have something like Waco, the Waco Branch Davidians people. Think about those people. They're minding their own business. They have this a compound they all lived in, and they were learning under this guy, David Koresh, who from what I understood was a pretty gentle guy. He was a good guy. And yet our government came along and said, oh, we can't have individuals. We can't have individuality. Here are people who are saying they don't agree to our governmental laws and all this stuff, so let's go kill them, which is what they did. Boston Marathon, I don't believe that story at all. There are a lot of amazing videos out about how fake that was. If you look back in 1982-ish, I think, under Reagan, the Marine barracks bombing in Lebanon, you don't hear much about that, where a lot of Marines, 100 and something like 142 U.S. Marines were killed, and it was said that it was done by terrorists, Hezbollah, whatever. I don't believe it for a second. There's an awful lot of documentation that shows that that was a planned bombing by the CIA and the Israelis and others who did that because they wanted to be able to go into Lebanon and destabilize the Lebanese government. 9/11. What do we need to say about 9/11? 9/11 did actually happen as far as the buildings collapsing and all that stuff, but it wasn't airplanes that were flown into those buildings that caused that whole thing to happen. That whole story is just nuts. Look up Hurricane Erin, E-R-I-N. It was a massive, massive, massive hurricane off the coast of New York City that morning. Moved its way up the east coast of the U.S. very slowly, and no weather news channels reported that that hurricane was off the coast of the U.S. They report every single other hurricane there is, even ones that are out in the middle of the Atlantic and will not make any kind of landfall. But you get this massive hurricane a few hundred miles off the coast of the U.S., and it was never reported on. The London subway bombing back in, I believe, 2011, same kind of concept. They're just such oddities. Read up on that whole thing. That did not happen the way they told us it did. And I even look at Kent State Massacre back in I believe under, I think it was Nixon at the time, back in the 70s, and where the Kent State in Ohio, Kent State University, where the, I forget what you call them, the National Guard had got called into the Kent State campus to put down a protest that was going on, I believe, about the Vietnam War. And the National Guard, for some reason, at some one point, just turned around and just started shooting the students. They killed a few of them. Again, there's something that's not right about how that whole thing played out. It doesn't make any sense why National Guard was brought into that campus. How about Flight MH17 that was shot down over Russia? Supposedly the Russians did it. Malaysian Flight MH17. It was blamed on Russia. And of course, the Europeans took the plane parts and the body parts, and they were supposed to report on who caused that whole thing to happen. They were supposed to do autopsies on the bodies of the people in the plane, and they never did. Never heard a word from them afterward. What they did is they took the evidence that proved that NATO, the US, and Europeans and our governments did this. But they couldn't release that to the world. But they couldn't prove that the Russians did it, so they just swept it under the rug. Blockerbie plane bombing. How about the plane bombing that got blamed on Libya, on Gaddafi? It was at that point that our government, people like Hillary Clinton and others, wanted to get rid of Gaddafi because he was not going to sell oil to people if they wanted to pay with US dollars. He didn't want US dollars anymore. He wanted to take down this bullshit system that we have in place. So he was blamed for it. And what happened to him eventually? He was killed. His government was taken down, and now Libya is an absolute freaking mess. Absolute fucking mess. Anyway, how about the Gabby Giffords shooting? She was a senator or a congresswoman. Supposedly got shot a few years ago by Jared Loughner. That whole thing just reeked of bullshit. And now she's out and about with her husband going around talking about getting rid of guns. So there's a false flag right there. There's a classic example of a false flag where something happened. We were told the story of how it happened, which was probably bullshit. But the end result was that whoever caused this thing to happen, regardless of whether she got shot or not or what, their goal was no different than Sandy Hook, was to get rid of guns in this country. There's a big anti-gun lobby in this country. And why? Because the people who want control of this country, true control of this country, have to deal with hundreds of millions of guns that exist in this country. There are hundreds of millions of guns in this country. They can't just go out and start trying to take people's guns. They can't start a war in this country because they probably get their asses kicked. And if you look up any of the big name dictators in the past, like Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Stalin, all kinds of people who were dictators, came to power in countries, took guns of the people, and then ended up slaughtering millions of people, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people. They want our guns because they want to get rid of us. The slaughter will come here if they take our guns. Be very careful who you vote for. You vote for somebody like Clinton, she's on board to take our guns. She is going to be the next step. Obama wants to take our guns. Bill Clinton wanted to take our guns. And again, understand, I'm not Republican here. I'm not picking out the Democrats, but they are the ones who are the liars. They're the hypocrites. They talk about how we should have rights and our rights should be protected and all this stuff, and now they're coming around saying, you don't have any rights. Liberals, Democrats are absolutely awful people. And I'm talking politicians. I'm not talking average people out in the world who really believe that they're Republican or Democrat, whatever. There are a lot of really good Democrats out in the world, no doubt. But the people who have infiltrated our governments and our militaries and our colleges, an awful lot of those people are just god-awful people in what their intentions are. It's a pretty scary place, really. And we're right smack in the middle of all this stuff. And I find myself not wanting to sit around and be lazy about it. I wanted to do this radio program and speak my mind. And it may only reach five people, well, whatever, one person. I don't care. I like to speak this stuff. I like to be able to connect the dots in my mind. I like to understand who's who and what their intentions are. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Trump is getting an awful lot of attention. And I have to sit back and ask myself, what's going on with that? What's wrong with this picture? He seems too legit, but at the same time, he seems to be legit enough. And so many people hate him. He's called a fascist. Do you realize that? The guy's a capitalist. The fascists are Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Obama. They are the fascists. And yet, there's so many people out there who don't get that, and that would lead into another title I wanted to talk about. I'll have to put it off, postpone it until my next program, is the dumbing down of America. And the one thing I wanted to bring up as far as a point right now is the word literally and how people can't use the word literally. People use the word literally now to give emotion to something they're talking about. I mentioned this on my show Saturday. There was a young woman, I saw the video this past week. She was interviewed by one of these guys who goes out on the streets and just talks to people randomly with a camera and a microphone. And he asks questions and wants to know if they know who the vice president is and that kind of thing. And this young woman on a college campus was asked, what are your thoughts on Trump? And her answer was, oh, God, Trump is literally Hitler. Okay, so if you think about that, the word literally means exactly what you're talking about. Literally is not to show emotion in something you're talking about. It means if something is literally brown, then it's brown. It doesn't sort of look brown. It doesn't look like an ugly brown. It's brown. And there's so many people who misuse the word literally. And it just blows my mind, absolutely blows my mind. So anyway, I'm going to get into a conversation at a point about the dumbing down of America. As a matter of fact, I've got books about the dumbing down of America, and I observe it every day. I'm not saying everybody's dumbing down, but there are an awful lot of people out there who don't get what's going on. I think a lot of you folks probably understand that. I'm sure you experience it. We're living in a very interesting time, no doubt about it. Anyway, I'm right near the end of my show here. I had originally scheduled it for 90 minutes. I should have kept it at 90 minutes because I really wanted to talk quite a bit more, but I'm being told I'm getting down near 10 seconds. So I just want to say I hope at least some of this stuff was interesting to you folks. It is March 23rd, 2016. My name is Dan Cherry. Thank you.